Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to Bank of India's Quarter 1 FY24 conference call. I would like to thank all of you for taking out time and joining us today. We have with us Shri Rajneesh Karnatak, MD and CEO, Shri P.R. Rajagopal, Executive Director, Shri Swaroop Das Gupta, Executive Director, Shri M. Karthikeyan, Executive Director, Shri Subrat Kumar, Executive Director, and other top management team representatives from Bank of India. Participants, we have placed all microphones on mute at the moment. At the end, during the Q&A session, we will be sending out a request to unmute yourself in order to ask questions. I will take you through this process before the Q&A session. However, the management will continue to remain unmuted throughout the session. I would now request Shri Rajneesh Karnatak to address this gathering. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good afternoon to all the members of the all the analysts present over here, ladies and gentlemen. I extend a very warm welcome to each one of you for today's interaction and share with you the financial results of Bank of India for Q1 23-24. The global economy has shown resilience and is recovering slowly, led by the services sector, amid persisting challenges and widening divergences among the economic sectors and regions. The tighter financial conditions and hawkish monetary policy stance and lull manufacturing and investment has stalled global growth momentum. Though the global headline inflation has moderated, but the core inflation is still stubborn and hurting the economy. The global economic weakness is also reflected in the trade forecast of IMF and expectation of decline in growth in world trade volumes from 5.2% in 2022 to 2% in 2023. IMF, in its latest World Economic Outlook in July, has projected a decline in global output growth rate from an estimated 3.5% in 2022 to 3%. In both 2023 and 24. The emerging market and developing economies are expected to grow at a better rate, that is 4% in 2023 and 4.1% in 2024. Global headline inflation is expected to fall from 8.7% in 2022 to 6.8% in 2023 and then further 5.2% in 2024. Despite potential headwinds from weak global macroeconomic conditions, Indian economy is poised to be the fastest growing major economy in the world. Several high frequency indicators point towards a strong rebound in the industry sector. There has been a pickup in capital formation in the economy due to significant increase in production of capital goods and infrastructure and construction goods. The economy is having a twin balance sheet advantage, with the strong balance sheets of both banks and corporate sector. The GDP growth rate of FY23 has been estimated at 6.5% by the RBI on account of high capacity utilization, strong growth in services sector, growing manufacturing sector, and high growth in agriculture sector. There has been a comfortable forex reserve. Headline inflation is also within the RBI tolerance level of 4.8% in June 23. I am happy to announce that the bank's net profit for Q1 24 stood at 1,551 crores, up by 176% year-on-year from 561 crores in Q1 FY23. There has been an improvement in NIM by 49 basis points from 2.54% in Q1 FY23 to 3.03% in Q1 FY24. Domestic NIM also improved by 51 basis points from 2.87% in Q1 23 to 3.37% in Q1 FY24. Asset quality improved and reduction in gross NPA both amount-wise and percentage-wise. The gross NPA was brought down to 6.67% in June 23 from 9.30 in June 22 and net NPA to 1.65% in June 23 to 2.21% in June 22. Slippage ratio improved from 0.69% in Q1 FY23 to 0.53% in Q1 FY24. During the quarter, the bank has expanded its global credit growth to 8.48% year-on-year, with increase in RAM advance share to 55%, with expected credit growth of 11-12% during the current year. To enhance yield on advances and NIM, the bank continues to align its asset growth in high-yielding sectors areas with focus on RAM advances and mid-corporate advances. With the bank's continuous drive for managing asset quality, we expect gross NPA ratio to be contained below 6% and credit cost between 60 basis points to 70 basis points. We aim to maintain NIM above 3%, thus ensuring a sustainable growth in profits. I would also again thank you for all your continued support. And now the floor is open for discussion and question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Participants, we would now like to open the analyst meet for question and answers. All of you will notice a small icon on the screen, a hand sign. Once you press it, it will alert us that you would like to ask a question. We will go around one by one. The analyst asking the questions will be unmuted. You will get a notification on your screen to unmute yourself. Kindly click on unmute and identify yourself before asking the question. Each participant will be allowed to ask three questions. If they have more questions, they are requested to join the queue again. As soon as someone presses a hand icon to ask a question, we will enter the participant in the questioning queue. Allow us a moment. The first question is from the line of Mr. Ashok Ajmera. Sir, you may proceed. Mr. Ajmera, you may proceed. We will move to the next participant and we'll take back sir back in line. Next in line, we have Mr. Ajay. Sir, you may proceed. Ajay, sir, you may proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. This is Ajay Verma. Sir, I have one question on the on NIM. Basically, we have seen an increase in net interest income on Q&Q basis, but our NIM has dropped in the same period. So, any reason for that, sir?
Can you repeat the question? Actually, your voice is breaking, Ajay.
One second, sir. Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Sir, your NI has increased on absolute basis on quarter and quarter, but our NIM has down during the same period. So, any reason for that, sir?
Yeah, you are right that NII has improved. Net interest income, which was 4,072 crores in Q1 FY23, has improved to 5,914 crores in Q1 FY24. There is an increase, healthy increase of 45%. However, our NIM has been at 3.03% in June. But if you see the Q1 number FY23, it has improved from 2.55% to 3.03%. This is the improvement which is there as far as NIM is concerned. So otherwise, the NIM was for entire financial year is for 3.01%. So in that way, the NIM has been protected by us. And for the guidance sakes also, the NIM will be protected at 3.03% at this level only for this financial year 2024.
Sir, I'm Ajmera here. Earlier, I was not permitted to mute. Now I have been allowed. Sir. Can you hear me?
Ashok, sir, allow us a minute, please. We'll complete the Q&A with Ajay, sir, and then move to you. Ajay, sir, you may continue.
Yeah. Sir, any interest we earned during the quarter from income tax refund?
Yes, sir. We are 472 crore. We got income tax refund, sir.
How much, sir? I missed that number.
472.
Okay.
So this was our CFO, Mr. Kumar, who was responding to the question.
Okay, sir. Okay. And
so, Ajay, just one more clarification, Ajay, on the NIM side. See, if you see our domestic NIM that we have given in the presentation also. So our domestic NIM has improved to 3.37% in Q1 24 as against 2.87% in Q1 FY23. And the overall NIM has come down because there was some stress in the NIM, which was there in the overseas NIM, though it has improved from 0.97% in Q1 23 to 1.36%, though the expansion has not been much because of the overall stress in the overseas book, because of the hardening of rates in the European and the American markets. So otherwise, overall, the NIM is quite healthy at 3.03% on Q1.
Okay. And sir, one thing on this ECL guideline. Suppose if RBI, you know, implementing on a full swing ECL guideline, then, you know, what would be the position of CET1 and overall CRAR by this Q1? And in order to improve the position of CET1, when we are looking to take a suitable steps like fundraise by equity or any other, to support the impact of both ECL.
Yeah, so as far as our capital adequacy is concerned, Ajay, we have a very healthy CRAR, which is at 15.6% presently. Our CRAR is the healthy number, out of which the Tier 2 is 1.8 and Tier 1 is 13.8%, overall at 15.6%. So as far as raising of capital is concerned, our board has already approved raising of capital of 6,500 crores in this financial year, out of which Tier 1 will be around 4,500 crores and Tier 2 will be 2,000 crores. As far as Tier 1 is concerned, for the capital part, we will be looking at an opportune timing of the market to come out with whatever QIP or whatever we decide. But our 81 bonds will be coming in the next 3 to 4 months. This is what we have decided. As far as the ECL is concerned, see, ECL is a draft guideline which has been circulated by Reserve Bank of India presently to all the banks, scheduled commercial banks. So yes, we are also seized with those guidelines. And those back paper calculations have been done by all the banks, including us also. So we are awaiting the final guideline from Reserve Bank of India. And they are cognizant with the issue that once the ECL kicks in and if they do not provide any dispensation to the banks, there will be some issue with as far as the CRAR is concerned for all the banks. So let us wait for the RBI guidelines to come out and then we can give you a clarity on what the numbers would be.
Okay, that's it. That's it for my side. Thank you, sir. I'll jump in with you.
May I come in?
Yeah, Ajmera ji, you can go ahead.
Sir, compliments to you, sir. You are fully now settled in this saddle here. Because last time, I think when the last meeting, you had just joined as the MD and CEO. Sir, compliments for the fantastic performance. If you look at the operating profit, in fact, it is looking lower than last quarter in numbers. But if you remove the one-off component of last quarter's 1,646 crore for SRs, classified to NPI, then your operating profit has gone up by almost about 200 crores in this quarter. Now, this 1,200 crore, how it went up in just one quarter so high? So it is because the employee cost has gone down by 610 crore in this quarter. And the overall expenditure has gone by 200 crore. And the net interest 400 crore benefit. So this 1,200 crore additional has come. So my question, sir, and my brother, I would like to seek a guidance and whether this trend of 3,752 crore operating profit will continue with some more growth and whether the employee cost will remain down to 2,251 or some odd crores with some minor increase and the expenditure also will be on control because your actual profit, its operating profit is much higher than the last quarter if that one-off item is taken out.
Yeah, Ajmera ji, as far as our operating profit is concerned, you will see that in Q1 FY23, our operating profit was 2,183 crores.
Yes, sir.
So for the Q4 quarter for FY23, it had shot up to 4,184 crore because of the one single item of 1,646 crore, which pertained to the SR provisions and the classification to NPA. So if we net it off, remove that item from there, our operating profit still was 2,538 crores in Q4 quarter. Now
yes, sir,
it has improved to 3,000. Yeah. So now it has improved to 3,752 crore. The backdrop of which is, as you are, you can clearly see, our interest income year on year basis, now it has touched total interest income 14,359. If you closely see our numbers, the growth in interest income of the bank alone has been 44% year on year basis. If you see the interest expenses, bank's interest expenses have touched 8,455 crores and the year-on-year growth is 43%. The NII, which is there, we have put it at 5,914 crores with a growth of 45%. And other income has grown by 27% to 1,462 crores. And operating expenses, as you know, they have grown by only 19%, as you rightly said. And because of which our operating profit could finally make it to a figure of 3,752 crores. But we are very sure and confident that our operating profit will continue to grow. And we are giving a guidance of having an operating profit growth of around 30% year-on-year basis in March 24 numbers.
So means here also we can go almost up to say 4,500 to 5,000 crore per quarter in the next three quarters.
No, I would not say in that manner. See, if you see our operating profit, it was 13,393 crores. So on that, if you take a markup of 30%, that is the guidance we are giving for the market for March 24 operating profit.
Looks little conservative. But anyway, sir, in your major announcement, the policy thing when you came in the last meeting, you said we are developing a concept of town hall meetings with the staff and this thing, and then simultaneously we are also going to have a lot of customer deliberation, customer meets and this thing. So whether those things have come in place and have started yielding the results, and what is the roadmap for that, sir?
Yes, Ajmeraji. So that we have already started to just give you a sense. Myself as MD, I am also moving into the market, and we have 13 NVGs which are handled by the field general managers. Out of that, 5 customer meet and town hall meeting I have already done. Out of the 13 NVGs which are there pan India. Apart from that, the 4 executive directors with us in Bank of India, all the CGMs at head office, all the general managers at head office, they have also been assigned guardian role for the NVGs and the zonal offices, which are our 82 offices. So they have also started moving into the field. So presently there is no NVG or zonal office which is left unturned by the top executives at head office during the last 3 months. We have visited all the zones. We have visited all the NVGs. We are conducting customer meets. We are conducting town hall meetings. And the results are already showing. We have a pipeline in corporate credit of nearly 40,000 crores, as I told them, channels also today. And as far as the fresh sanctions are concerned, during this financial year from 1st April onwards, we have sanctioned fresh and announcement to the tune of nearly 30,000 crores as we speak. So definitely there is a lot of traction even in the RAM sector, whether there is retail, MSME, agriculture, MSME BIP also has started picking up. Once our numbers come for September 23, definitely you will see them play out in the balance sheet.
Sir, my one question is on the investment. The profit on the sale of investment has come down drastically to 297 crore as compared to the last quarter of 1,700 crore. And overall treasury, if you see segment-wise, also has come down a little bit by about 200 crores. So on the treasury front, how are we placed and what is the status of our AFS book with the modified duration? And how do we plan to reap the benefits now in the treasury going forward, sir?
Yeah, Ajmeraji, our treasury head, Mr. Shashidharan, will be responding to this.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, the figures which you talked about, the treasury income from 1,717 for Q4 of FY23, and it has moved to 297 crores. And if you see the subtext below it, there is a 1,646 crore which has accrued on account of provision of shifting of security receipts, which has been classified as NPA, which was a standard asset earlier. So taking that out, I think the profits are in line with what has been, it is slightly more than what has been achieved last year. Now coming to the specific question as to how we are placed with respect to the market dynamics, I would like to say that, sir, as on 31/3/23, the modified duration of our portfolio of SLR was 1.2, which has moved to 2.3. If you see the non-SLR investments, this is slide number 14, sir. The AFS end duration has moved from 2.77 to 2.67. Totally, the portfolio size also has gone up from 44,669 to 47,616. The total AFS modified duration for us is 2.40%. And we are sitting at a PV01 of 11. And we expect that the interest rates have neared the peak, or it has more or less peaked out, one would say. But the only thing is that we are waiting for the Fed and others to come out with their actions. The expectation is that the higher for longer, as far as Indian markets are concerned, the repo rates will be staying here at around 6.50. And we are well placed in terms of MTM. We don't have any MTM as far as our SLR securities are concerned. And as things move down, we expect there's going to be good gains on the treasury book.
Thanks a lot for such an elaborate this thing. Sir, last question in this round on tax angle. On the taxation, our provision is 1,376 crore, on a profit of 3,000 crore, which is comparatively seems to be very high. And at the same time, just to bring in that in other income, we have got the interest on the income tax of 471 crore. So on the tax front, what is the tax calculation for the entire year? Because in this one quarter itself, we are providing 1,376 crore. So what is the DTA effect and what is the MAT effect has been taken into it?
Ashokji, our CFO will be responding to this.
Sir, actually, as you correctly pointed out, that our tax rate has been toda high when compared to 35% normal thing. Actually, the banks make provision for tax based on the overall estimated profitability of the bank during the year, sir. It is estimated during the beginning of the year and it has been provided on a quarter-long basis. And now, this time, what you have taken a call is that due to higher allowable deduction and tax provision, there is a tax loss due to which the bank is not able to claim credit for the taxes paid abroad. According to the bank, has chosen not to create the DTA on the tax losses, sir. As a result, the effective tax rate is higher to that extent. So, otherwise, we will be, since it is calculated at the beginning of the year, so we will be evening out when coming to this thing. But our tax rate is, as of now, it is only 35%. That will be averaged out during the course of the year. And coming to your point, yes, there is a 472 crore. We got interest from income tax refund. That is already booked in our income also.
Now, thank this you. Is just one-off income. I mean, once in a year.
Yes, sir. Correct. Correct.
So, sir, this tax, whether the provision on the standard asset, some of these provisions domestically, also you said about global, some domestic provisions are also not allowed. So, how much that component is there in that?
Sir, it is not that overall we take for the year as a whole and estimate it. Maybe going at quarters, maybe we can able to give in details. Yes, sir.
No problem, sir. These were some of my questions in this round. If time permits, I'll come back again. Thank you, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next in line, we have Mr. Chintan Shah. Chintan, you may proceed. We'll come back to Chintan. Next we see is Mr. Suraj Das.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Yes, Mr. Das, you may proceed.
Yes. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, again, on the question is on the income tax refund. So, I mean, your NIM, if I see on the reported basis, it has declined only by 12 basis points. But if I exclude this income tax refund of, 472 crore, then I think it has something like 20-25 basis point impact on the NIM. So the NIMs, if I exclude this, then the NIMs have fallen, more sharply on a QOQ basis. While if I see the other PSU banks, then they have reported broadly, stable kind of NIMs on a QOQ basis. So just wanted to know your view on the core NIMs going ahead in coming quarters as well as for FY24 perspective. And a consequent question would be, you know, you have given in your presentation that one third of the book is roughly MCLR linked. So, I mean, how much of that book, you know, has been already repriced, or, you know, and how much is yet to be repriced? Or do you find any challenge, you know, in rate pass on the MCLR side in the corporate book? So that is my first question.
As far as the impact of this income tax refund on the NIM is concerned, let me explain again. Our NIM is 3.03% as on Q1 FY23, and it has improved from 2.54%, which was there in Q1 FY23. So it has improved definitely from 2.54 to 3.03. However, the overall for Q1 FY23 was 3.01%. But if you break up the NIM, our domestic NIM has closed at 3.37% as against 2.87% in Q1 FY23. And overseas NIM also has improved from 0.97% to 1.36%. But if you factor in that income tax refund, definitely there will be some erosion of that NIM. But nonetheless, overall it is protected. And for as far as Bank of India is concerned, our guidance is that the NIM will get let. Be protected in FY24 also, and we will be above 3% in FY24.
Okay, understood. And on the so basically, I mean, if I see the core NIMs this quarter is something around 2.8-2.9%. If I exclude this income tax refund, so that you are saying that probably 3% would be your, you know, protected NIMs for the FY24 level. I mean, which seems like, I mean, next couple of quarters there would be. You know, rise in the core NIMs part. Understood. And on the MCLR side, sir, I mean, how much of the
MCLR? MCLR, I will be responding. Just the CFO would clarify much further to you.
Okay. Sir, with regard to the NIM, just I want to clarify is that we have not taken that income tax refund when you are computing that 3.03, whatever the NIM, whether it is domestic NIM and you worked out. If you add that one, our NIM is additional 20 bps, sir, our global NIM, and our domestic NIM will be additional 20 bps. So we are not taken that income tax refund when you are working out for the NIM is concerned. Otherwise, my NIM is around 3.23, sir, exact global NIM, if I take that one, just for clarification, sir.
Okay, that is very clear, sir. Thank you.
So on the second part regarding the MCLR, so if you see our breakup of advances, only 6% of our advances are fixed rate. So 94% of our total loan book is floating, which is either MCLR or EBLR linked, which is RBLR also as per RBI guidelines, wherein we give it to MSMEs and retail loans, and some corporate book is on the EBLR side, which is linked to the repo side. And others are base rate, the old ones, which also get repriced. So MCLR, as far as the credit cost is concerned and the yield on advances are concerned, not much pressure will be there, because as per the RBI circular, we are resetting our MCLR also on a regular basis once the marginal cost of funds also increased. So last time also we had increased our MCLR by 5 basis points last month. And this month also we will be increasing the MCLR by another 5 basis points post the ALCO meeting. So ALCO meeting has already happened. So we'll be announcing that also.
Okay. And on the most of the MCLR book has already been repriced. Would that be a fair assumption?
So as far as the MCLR is concerned, 47% of our MCLR book has already been repriced. The remaining 53% will get repriced in the next 4 to 5 months.
Okay, understood. Now moving on to the second question. So if you look at the staff cost on a QOQ basis, it has declined. So just wanted to check if there is, you know, any, have you done any kind of retirement provision reversal, or there is something else? That is why I wanted to check.
Sir, it is only a minor reduction only. It is not some major reduction. It is only minor reduction. So it is a course of period, certain provisions, addition, deletion only, sir. There is not much of a thing. Whatever we are providing, family pension, if you see, we are given clearly in our notes to account also, as against our 32 crore, we have provided 50 crore. As well as we are also providing for wage revision around 186 crore. These are all provisions we are continuing. And this is only an additional some or other expenses which may come during year-ending time, which may not happen during quarter any time. That may be, you will be seeing some aberrations. Yes, sir.
Okay, understood. And sir, last question would be, sir, on your slide 18, you have shown for 1Q FY23, yield on advances is 6.5, yield on investment is 6.4, but the overall yield on fund is 5.46. Just wanted to check this 5.46, is there any printing error, or am I missing something else?
talking about Q1 FY23.
That is right.
No, now it is specifically 7.34, sir.
I am asking about the Q1 FY23 acquisition. Yield on fund is printed here is 5.46, while your advances yield is 6.5 and investment yield is 6.4.
Yes, sir. What do you want the clarification on this point?
So this 5.46 number is correct. Just wanted to check. Or it, there is
yes, sir. Correct, sir. That is correct, sir. That is correct.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Chintan.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Two, three questions from my end. So firstly, we had a strong deposit growth during the quarter of roughly 4% odd QOQ. So is there any strategic changes behind it which led to this growth in this competitive scenario? Just one thing on that. And secondly, relating to that, we have also seen a dip of roughly 27% QOQ in the borrowings. So is it the strategy of raising deposits and offloading the high cost borrowings? Is it something like that? If you could just highlight on that. Yeah. First is on that.
Yes, Chintan, you rightly noticed that there has been an improvement in as far as our retail deposits and overall deposit is concerned. Just to give you a sense, Bank of India has a very strong franchise. And we have 5,200 branches. We have nearly 11 crores of customer base, against which we have a very strong 44% of CASA base. And our CASA, which has grown and touched 2,60,000 crores in June 23, as against 2,42,000 as on June 22. So the growth in CASA has been 18,000 crores in the YOY. So that has been a very good number as far as the CASA is concerned. If you see further the liability side of the book, so only 12% of our total liability is bulk liabilities, bulk deposits. The remaining 88% liability is retail term deposits and CASA. So that is the strength of the bank. And this is what we are riding on. And this is what we are trying to enforce through our franchisee. And a lot of initiatives have been taken by the bank for improvement in customer service and delivery of the products. That is now resulting in better numbers for the bank. And as you said that for the deposit and the borrowing side, reduction in the borrowing, that has been a conscious call by the management to reduce the borrowing and optimize the overall returns.
Sure, sir. So I think, sir, we had a deposit growth guidance of 10% for FY24 as per the last analyst call. So would we like to up the guidance on deposit and advance growth, or would we continue with the current guidance?
So Chintan, our guidance for March 24 for both deposit and advances remains the same, which had been said in earlier. So deposit will be growing at around 10 to 11% and for credit 11 to 12% for March 24.
Sure. And sir, so if I'm not wrong, just one thing to clarify on the margins part. I think earlier we had a guidance of roughly around 3.1% on margin. So now it is more than 3% for FY24, right?
No, it was always 3 plus. So presently, like okay. We have shown a 3.03, we are saying that our margins, NIMs will be protected.
Okay, sure. And so, sir, have you mentioned any guidance? The guidance on this ROA and cost to income also remains unchanged, right? ROA 0.75 and cost to income of around 47%.
Yeah, that guidance remains the same. So cost to income, sure. And which was the other one you are saying?
ROA guidance, sir.
Yeah.
0.75.
Yeah, ROA.
Okay, and also, sir, in terms of if you could just help me with the book breakup in terms of fixed and floating and how much would be MCLR linked and EBLR linked, that would be helpful.
Yeah, there is a slide we have, that is slide number 12. To give you a sense, our RBLR is 42%, out of which corporate credit EBLR is 16%, MCLR is 35%. Fixed rate is 6.31%, BPLR, which is very small, insignificant at 0.23, and others is 9.81%, and base rate is 6.26%. This is how our loan book is broken up. So floating is 93% and fixed is 6%.
Sure, sir. So I actually missed that slide. And sir, one thing on the deposit cost. So accordingly, this quarter we had a deposit cost rise of 31 bps QOQ. The magnitude now should slow down from year on, right? Since now already we have grown 4% and we are guiding for 10-11% deposit growth. So the deposit cost should kind of more or less peak around in Q2 or so. Can that be assumed?
Yeah, there will be some uptick in the deposit cost, but it will peak in the next coming one or two quarters, as you rightly said.
Sure, sir. And sir, one thing just to clarify on the tax regime. So currently we are on the old tax regime, if I'm not wrong. And is there any view on when are we shifting to the new tax regime, or would we be comfortable with the old only as of now?
Yeah, so our CRO is CFO is taking the question.
Sir, at present, we don't have any plans to migrate to new tax regime, but however, we will taking a call at appropriate time, sir.
I think, so that's it from my side in this round. I'll come back in the queue for follow-up. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Next in line, we have Mr. Sushil C. Choksi. Over to you, sir.
Good evening to Bank of India team. Congratulations for very stable and good numbers and very positive guidance which you have given. What would be a CD ratio and credit cost at FY24?
Yeah, Sushil ji, as far as the CD ratio is concerned, so presently our CD ratio is 74.41. If we knock off the CRR and SLR, which is required as per the regulatory guidelines, we can go as high as 77.5%. So with the growth of 10%, which we are saying for deposit and guidance of 12%, 11-12 for credit, we are anticipating our CD ratio should be around 76-77%, around 76-77 for March 24.
And credit cost, which we have been at 0.75 and 0.79 for last 2 years and 0.67 for current quarter, will it be lower than there or will you maintain here?
Yeah, see, our credit cost has improved significantly from 1.21% in Q1 FY23 to now 0.64% in Q1 this year. So, but we are in the guidance, we are giving a guidance of 60 to 70 basis point only. In this range only the credit cost would be there.
That's an excellent number. So, related to that, your guidance on Q1 you have achieved 14.9 on ROE and ROE is 0.7. Will you improve from here or will it be remaining stable here?
So definitely it will improve. So already we have touched the ROA of 0.71 and return on equity of 14.90. So definitely we would be improving on this number for March 24.
Sir, very, very clearly visible that Bank of India is coming out of slumber or consolidation, whatever word you want to use, in the last 2-3 years, or maybe a little more longer. What kind of business mix would you see? Are you likely to see that these numbers would beat your guidance? Second thing is, how much of public sector and private sector are we holding in our books where credit is concerned? Can you break up that divide?
Yeah, so as far as the book is concerned, so we have taken a conscious call that in FY24, our loan book would look like 55% of that would be in RAM and 45% of that would be in corporate. As far as the granularity of that is concerned, in this year number presentation, you must have seen our state government advances, they have gone down by 15% year-on-year basis, and that is a conscious decision we have taken. So we want to build our RAM book, which is agriculture, retail and MSME book. And also on the corporate side, it will be a balanced growth wherein we will be giving to infrastructure and to industry also. There is industry in textile, there is iron and steel is there, there is food processing is there, there is pharma is there, and the traders are also there and export is also there. So the growth would also be totally balanced as far as the corporate book is also concerned. So we have robust 10 large corporate branches, and we are also planning to restart our mid-corporate branches with 18 new mid-corporate branches will be opened up this quarter, subject to the approval of the committee. That also we are trying to do. So the thrust will be on mid-corporate advances, 50 to 200 crore, and also large corporate advances from the 10 existing large corporate branches. Another thing which I would like to say, Sushil ji, over here is that we are trying to give corporate advances where we are finding some commercial sense. This is what we are trying to do, and our main thrust is improving the net interest income, the net interest margins, finally the operating profit and the net profit, and also reducing the cost to income ratio. So overall, it is the package is for improving the profitability, improving productivity and operational efficiency in the system.
Sir, any outlook on international book? And one question to Mr. Rajagopal on digital spend. He's been answering that question for last 4-6 quarters. So I would like to hear his voice on the same. International book first, sir, if you can.
Yeah. So international book, see, presently, Sushilji, our international book is 16% of the total global book. And we and our guidance is that it will continue to be maintained in spite of the headwinds the global economy is facing, especially in the USA, Europe and other parts, with the rising interest rate by Fed and other central banks. So in spite of that, we continue to give the guidance of 16% of our total book will be the international book.
Yeah, and the last word on digital.
Digital, we have spent around 800 crores, Sushil ji. And business also generated as good as that. And then we'll actually roll out by the end of this year. All the end-to-end journeys will be rolled out. Already three journeys have been rolled out end-to-end. And the remaining, we are planning actually 20 journeys. We'll do it by end of this month. We'd like to take it to a good number next year at least.
Yeah, just to supplement our ED, Rajagopal ji, Sushil ji, I would like to just say that recently we have hired a CTO from outside. So he has already joined the bank. So he will be strengthening the hands of our CGM IT, Mr. Sushil Padhi ji. So that will also help the bank in transformation of the IT and digital journeys. As Rajagopal ji has already said that some of the journeys we have already started. And in the next two quarters, like in the next 6 months, we will be starting the KCC journey above 1.6 lakhs. Then Kisan Vahan, we are starting. The KCC renewal, we will be starting. Agri-food, agro, we will be starting. Loan against FDR, pre-approved personal loan, we will be starting. Home loan, top-up loan, working capital above 10 lakhs also and up to 2 crores. That also through digital, we will be starting. Working capital review and also pre-approved business loan. All these journeys will be starting in the next 6 months for the bank. So once all these things scale up, definitely the digital book of the bank will also start growing.
Sir, my last reply to all your positive guidance is please do not consider a QIP at current market prices. There is good news for 81 bond, which I've just shared. And possibly your guidance will lead to a betterment. So please consider a rights issue to existing shareholder over a QIP if you're doing it in next 2 quarters.
Theek hai, Sushil ji, noted.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next in line, we have Mr. Jay Mundra. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Sir, my question is on your operating profit. On your operating profit, so you said 10, 11, 12% of loan growth and stable margins. And then you said,
Jay, your audible. Voice is breaking. You are not audible.
Is this better, sir, now?
Now it is clear.
Proceed.
Yes, sir. Sure, sir. So I was asking on the operating profit guidance that you shared of around 30% YOY. Now, if you see the component individually, you are seeing loan growth of 11-12%, stable margins YOY. Right? And then staff cost, ideally, you know, at this point of time, we are in the GSEC have been lower. So retirement liability will be a bit higher. And then you have the wage revision, which was there only for 5 months. This year, it will be for 12 months full. So how are you projecting that 30% growth that looks, if you can elaborate that.
Yeah, rightly said, Jay, you have. But one thing which you have not taken into account is our NPA book. That is the gold mine with the bank. So there is where we are trying to get some recoveries, good recoveries through OTS and other kinds of tools which are available as per the RBI guidelines. So if you see 90% already we have achieved our provision coverage ratio. So most of the assets, majority of the NPA book is already provided. So whatever the 10% left is the recent NPAs which will be provided as per the aging of per the IRAC guidelines. So we want to go aggressively for the recoveries, both on the OTS side and also on the other settlement side. So once that happens, so definitely some profit will be coming to the bank and operating profit will be protected because of that.
Yeah, no, so I agree, sir, that operating profit should be protected. Maybe it will be grow at 10% in line with the advances growth. But for it to grow at 30% is the question, sir. Full year, last year, our recovery in write-off account has been the lowest within all PSU banks at 100 crores, 66 crores, 183 crores. So what can change so dramatically that operating profit increases by 30%?
Yeah, if you see our NPA book and see the set, this total slippage and other things. So last year we had the total, in the entire year, we had a total reduction of 15,888 crores, right? Against which a total addition in the NPAs of 7,900 crores. So this year we are targeting to keep this total addition in NPA at the level of 8,000 crores only. And we are targeting a cash recovery and upgradation of 12,000 crores apart from the write-off, which will happen. So there the numbers will be coming and there the difference will be there and the profit will be coming over there. The additional top-up will be coming from there. Already we have, we are going to the board for some schemes, OTS scheme, very aggressive OTS schemes. So presently there was no OTS scheme for return of accounts. Let me tell you, two strategies are there apart from the other things which we are doing. So there was no OTS scheme for the return of accounts. For that also we are going to the board shortly for a special OTS scheme in return of accounts. There the entire money which is recovered will be going to the profit. Apart from that, what we are doing is that the other two schemes also will be pushing hard for the recovery and the OTS. That will help us reduce the numbers. And finally also, we have also opened now zonal collection centers at all the 89 zonal offices, which will help us reducing the SMA and fresh slippages. So that will also help us reducing the overall slippages and the overall gross NPA number.
Right. So, sir, this 12,000 crore of recovery and upgrade that you said is comparable to 7,000 crore that we did last year, right? 7,000 plus 1,000 crore of recovery in write-off account. So, 8,000 crore like-to-like number that you are saying that it should increase sharply, right? Because of new schemes that
So another thing that we have done just to keep you more updated is that we have shifted all our large accounts, NPA accounts, substandard accounts to the ARBs. So presently, of all 50 lakh and above accounts, the entire Pan India, we have shifted to our ARB branches. From there only all these accounts will be monitored. Earlier what was happening, Jay, was that these large accounts, even NCLT accounts and corporate NPAs were parked in the large corporate branches and other big branches, AGM branches. Now they all have been shifted at these ARB branches, which are dedicated NPA branches. All 50 lakh and account book will be there, and another 18 ARB branches we are opening shortly in the next 6 months. So with this kind of a strategy, there will be a lot of pressure and focus from the top management side, from the full-time directors to the CGMs and GMs on the recovery. And with this recovery, definitely the operating profit and the overall profitability should improve for the bank. See, as you rightly said, there will be a lot of pressure on the margins as far as the NIM is concerned and also as far as the treasury income is concerned. So the differentiator would be the recovery in the NPA accounts. And if you are able to crack that for this financial year, definitely the operating profit which we are giving a guidance will not be far away.
Right. Okay. And sir, then I noticed that you have a gross slippages and net slippages in 1Q. The difference is that the account or amount which would have been recovered during the quarter itself, right? The 4,000 crore and 2,500 crore difference is the same quarter recovery or recovery after. Okay. I think, sir, most of the banks have shifted to gross slippages only. Only you and SBI report the net slippages. All other banks have now shifted to reporting gross slippages and showing that recovery as a part of recovery. But anyway, So that is good. And lastly, sir, if operating profit increases the way as per your guidance, then and your credit cost is, of course, your asset quality continues to improve in the way that you see, then your ROA of 70 basis point, 70, 75 basis point again does not seem fair. I don't know. Are you building some prudent non-NPA provisions in anticipation of Ind AS with whatever information that we have?
So, Jay, in the guidance, we do not want to give a guidance which is we are not able to achieve. So, I agree with you that ROA guidance which we have given is a conservative one, but definitely, whatever the number has been given, we will achieve it.
Right. And sir, basis information that we have, some of the banks have calculated the ECL provisions. Of course, that is subject to, the draft guideline. What would be your ballpark number? I hear you that, of course, the guidelines have not been finalized, but you have done your initial working. So, what would be the extra credit provisions that you need to make if the guidelines were to be implemented today?
So our CRO will be responding to that.
Sure.
Yeah, Jay, the incremental provisions that would be required to be made under the ECL regime would be roughly around 15,000 crores. But I must add here that in the present regime, apart from the provisions that we make as per IRAC norms, there is incremental provision done on various items based on RBI guidance and our own prudential requirements. So if you knock off that, the incremental provision requirement would be around 10,000 crores.
Okay. Sir, when you say this incremental 10,000 crores
Apologies,
provision.
Jay. We will have to come back to you later. Request you to join back the queue. Next in line, we have Mr. Himanshu Taluja. Over to you.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of the questions has been answered. Just a few ones, probably. Firstly, on your since you mentioned already that since you have a pressure on the margins delivery, although looks to be optimism. So, what's your outlook on this government guaranteed advances, which is a low yielding portfolio? Although we are seeing a decline, so how we are going to trend in the coming quarters? And if the declining trend still remains, do we see a gradual sort of a decline, or there will be a possibility of a sharp decline in this portfolio? That's my first question.
So as far as this government guaranteed advances is concerned, if you see our page 7 of the slide, it has come down from 48,000 crore in June 2022 to 41,000 crores in June 23, which I said that it was a conscious call taken by the management to prune down those advances. Basically, the issue is that it is not any issue of the state government advances, but it is more of an issue of the guidance which we had all the banks received from RBI regarding the funding to the state government and their entities. So that was the issue. So we have segregated these state governments into certain categories, red, amber, and green. So wherever our exposure is there is there in red, so that immediately we are trying to prune down and getting the payments off. So this is the strategy, or the states which are green states, which are healthy states as far as their fiscal deficit and overall debt is concerned, there we will continue to fund.
Okay, so broadly overall, sir, if you have to give some guidance, how do we see this book from 41,000 to run down in the coming quarters?
So we can keep it at 41,000. We have not thought it about much about that. There are certain some of the accounts in red category we have reduced our exposure. Some of the categories in amber also we have reduced. So even if the number stays at 40%, it is well within our threshold. See, our loan book, if you see, it is at 5,15,000 crores as on June. So 41,000 out of that 5,15,000 is not even 10%. So we are within a reasonable number, within 10% of the total overall loan book. So 41,000 crore number seems to be okay as far as the guidance is concerned.
Yeah. Sir, second question is on this on the capital only. Since you have a tier one of 13, more than 13%, you broadly looks very much comfortable from a growth standpoint. But I just wanted to reiterate as well from the earlier participants, in order to reduce the government holding, if you want to go for a route, just would request to go for a rights issue rather than a QIP. And thirdly, if you raise the capital, what sort of the amount shall we look around?
So as far as that is concerned, we have not yet decided. As I told you that we have a board approved approval that we can raise 4,500 crores in Tier 1, which includes raising of capital plus 81 bonds. So we have still yet to decide what is the amount and the number and what would be the timing. So it will all depend what would be, how the market is there and how the banking index and other things perform. There are a host, multiple of things which are beyond our control. So looking into that only, we will decide the amount and the timing of the issue.
Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Next in line, we have Mr. Rakesh Kumar. Sir, you may accept the unmute and proceed.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Can I proceed?
Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you. So, sir, first question, sir, is with respect to the guideline which you mentioned just now, the RBI guideline, you know, for the government guaranteed loan. So what about the SDLs that banks are holding for the states, you know, which are in red category?
So for that also, it is the same guideline basically. So red, green and amber is the same thing which is there for all the states. This is a generic guideline from RBI to the banks. Normally that guidance is predominantly on the credit side, not on the STL side.
No, but we keep credit or we keep credit substitutes, you know, the difference is not much. We have to make the provision for any, like, you know, for loan or the investment, it doesn't matter actually. So I'm just trying to understand,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Which are those states, sir? So which are those states?
So that that is an internal note for us. That is an internal matrix which we have formulated within the bank. So that is something which is for the internal document of the bank. That.
Okay, so out of the total government guaranteed loan that we had before this guideline and after pruning, so what percentage we have pruned of the original number?
So it is there in the slide. We have reduced our exposure by 15,000 crores. 15%. 15%, 15%.
Got it.
Slide 7.
Got it. Okay, understood, sir. And the second question that I had, with respect to your slide number 13, where we have given, you know, this RBLR thing. So the corporate loan out of which it is 16.31. So is it this mid corporate or this is MSME? So which are the corporates where we are giving loan on the RBLR? Instead of
so this is EBLR as per the this is EBLR lending as per the RBI guideline. So in Bank of India, we have taken the benchmark as the repo rate. So these are all large corporates, 50 crores and above, where we have given. Typically, these accounts are AAA and AA rated. So RWA up to 30. These are those accounts.
RWA up to 30% of the exposure.
Yeah.
So why are we not taking it on the MCLR, sir?
See, the simple thing is the market. AAA rated corporates, they are getting funds at a very cheap rate. So other banks have also started doing the EBLR linked. So some of the banks have linked it to GSEC, some from T-bill, some from EBLR, repo rate. So in Bank of India, we have linked it to the repo rate. So this is how we are giving to the AAA and AA rated corporates, typically who are public sector enterprises like oil companies, HPCL, BPCL, IOCL, all AAA rated, or GAIL, Gas Authority of India Limited, or other kind of corporates who are AAA rated. So this is that kind of lending.
No, but I'm not able to understand. Instead of, you know, taking interest rate risk, why don't we give, you know, credit substitutes instead of taking credit exposure to these companies? So if we take, like, say, bond NCD, instead of taking the, you know, repo rate, you know, exposure, because if the repo rate is coming down, we will have to either, you know, curtail this exposure or we have to take the interest rate risk. So why did not we go for credit substitute?
So credit substitutes also we are giving in the sanctions. See, typically it is the NBFCs which are taking a combo offer, wherein they take, we are giving them some NCDs and some these kinds of books. So that also we are doing. But as far as that is concerned, presently what we are doing is these repo exposures are all short term. We are not giving any exposure on the repo linked EBLR more than 12 months.
No, but the 12 month is quite high, sir. Like suppose from March 24, if the repo rate is being cut, then what will you do about the 16.3%? Either we curtail this exposure and reduce the credit growth, or we take the credit risk on the book.
No, see, this is not only repo. There is a markup over the repo, no? Business strategy.
No, spread is okay. Yeah, spread you cannot change, sir. For a given kind of client, you cannot change the spread. The spread will remain the same, but the repo will be reduced, and you will have to reduce the rate.
But yeah, automatically, whenever the repo will come down, you are right, the rate will come down definitely. But these are all majority, they are predominantly short-term exposures only within a year.
No, within 12 months. Even if it is for 6 months, sir, I am saying that even 6 months, it can take away your good amount of margin. Or you reduce the exposure. That is the only two ways you can do the things.
So our CRO will further elaborate in this.
Rakesh, right? Rakesh, you seem to be suggesting that the interest rates will definitely fall. See, as a bank, we hold a view on interest rates. And our view is that the repo rate will remain at the same level until the first quarter of the next year. That is until August. This is a conscious call we are taking. And if you have observed, over the last four quarters, banks have made windfall profits on account of the rise in interest rates, right? To assume that the interest rates are definitely going to fall would be a kind of wrong estimate of the direction
no,
of
no.
the market
might
move.
Just I will take a just I will I would like
out,
to intervene,
hear
sir.
Hear me out. Rakesh, yes, hear me out. See, you're suggesting that we replace loans with a credit substitute, which is investment. See, investment in fixed rate instruments carry their own risk, right? In case the inflation shoots up and the interest rates do not move down and they in fact go up, there will be diminution in the value of investments. So it's a very conscious call. We manage our books in a very dynamic way and we balance it out. If you look at our book, advances book, only 41% is linked to RBLR. Balance is linked to MCLR, where the transmission is not immediate. This is something we do dynamically, and the book is managed in such a way that the volatility in earnings is actually managed well.
Thank you, sir. Participants, with the paucity of time, we would now like to commence that there will be no further questions. I would like to hand over the conference to Sri Rajneesh Karnatak for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you so much for the entire fruitful discussion. So I think we have taken most of the questions, and most of the slides are also very clear and transparent enough. So we'll be happy to take any questions later on through email or any other way. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Bank of India, I now announce that this conference is concluded. You may log out. Good evening. Have a good day.